Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us every Friday at this time is Julio Diaz. He's the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio, and also the Pensacola Movie Club. You can follow them on Facebook, watch movies, and talk about them. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. We got a bunch. We'll see how many we can get through before we run out of time. Mickey 17.
Yeah, well, I will say before we get into individual movies, this is very much a three-star weekend at the movies. Like almost everything this weekend is running between 72 and 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, with a couple of exceptions. So,
wow. All right. Well, that's a bumper crop. Okay.
Yeah, a pretty decent weekend for the movies, which is good post-Oscars, you know, to be able to go out and, you know, when people are high on, oh, look, there's all these quality movies. We've actually got some quality movies coming out brand new this week. So that's nice. Mickey 17, I'm very upset that I got tied up last night and was not able to go see this last night because I've very much been looking forward to this movie. This is the follow-up to Parasite, the Oscar-winning film from director Bong Joon-ho. This is his next movie with Robert Pattinson starring in this. This is a science fiction film. Where Robert Pattinson is a person who signs up to be an expendable. They take on these dangerous jobs for the betterment of mankind, and they agree to be cloned.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They remember, you know, they remember everything from every life, so you know, they die multiple times. And then there's only supposed to be one clone at a time, and then when there's more than one clone at a time, there's a problem. And so, of course, that's what happens in this film. You know, tremendous supporting cast in this as well with Mark Ruffalo and a few other really good names. The reviews are, like I said, 81% on Rotten Tomatoes. This is the best of the 3-star reviews this week.
Okay.
That's a good sign as far as I'm concerned. I know Parasite was not necessarily everybody's cup of tea despite winning the Oscar, but it was very much mine. I've been a big fan of Bong Joon-ho in general. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing this film.
Okay, yeah, no, I mean, I love a good science fiction-ish premise, and he certainly is an author with an interesting message. Whether you like it or not is a different question, but it's always interesting. Rule Breakers, number two?
Yeah, this is about the Afghan dreamers. These are the women who, the woman who became a computer expert, despite the fact that, you know, that's not really allowed in that country.
Yeah.
And went on to teach some other young women to also become computer experts. So this is based on a true story. This is interesting. It's from Angel Films, which is known as a faith-based distributor, but They've really kind of been branching out lately to make some films that are not necessarily just proselytizing and getting good reviews in the result. Again, this is another, you know, in the 3-star family this week.
All right. We got The Rule of Jenny Penn. This has got to be a horror, right?
Yeah, this is a horror. This is a kind of a psychological horror with a couple of stars you maybe wouldn't expect to be in a psychological horror movie. John Lithgow and Jeffrey Rush.
Oh,
and,
okay.
It takes place in a retirement home with Jeffrey Rush's character being a arrogant judge who suffered a stroke and forced into retirement. And he is being tormented by one of his fellow retirees, who is, of course, the Lithgow character. This one is just a little bit below that 3-star range, though, 67 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Boy, talk about an underrepresented genre. We need more things to scare seniors in the retirement center, though. That's that's outstanding. That's definitely what we need for the culture.
I could make a political comment here, but I won't.
Gotcha. Night of the Zoopocalypse?
Yeah, so this is the one that is outside that 3-star range on the good side. This is currently sitting at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
But it is only based on 15 reviews.
Oh,
so as more reviews come in, we may see this, you know, normalize a little bit. But this is an animated film, and it's basically an animated zombie comedy with anthropomorphic animals. David Harbour playing the lead role in this. You know, looks like it could be fun.
Zombie animal anthropomorphic and cartoon comedy. I'm all in. I'm in good. A couple more just real quick. In the Lost Lands?
Okay, so this is the other end of the outside of the three-star spectrum, which is unfortunate because this is based on a short story by George R.R. Martin, of course, the creator of Game of Thrones, known for writing some great fantasy and science fiction over the years. But then you hear the words directed by Paul W.S. Anderson.
Oh, okay, I'm out.
And starring Mila Jovovich, of course, because they're married and they're a package deal. So, you know, this is going to be, you know, trashy sci-fi, basically.
All right.
Dave Bautista also in this. There's a time and a place for that. Don't get me wrong. And, you know, Mila Jovovich is fun to watch, even in bad movies. So, but 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. Oh, God. And if you had to pick between Seven Veils or Queen of the Ring, either one of these particularly good?
Both look interesting. Seven Veils is the return of the director Adam McGuinn, who is very popular. Made a lot of great movies in the 90s and starring Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, okay.
So that's interesting. And then Queen of the Ring is about the first well-known female championship wrestler in the country, Mildred Burke, played by Emily Bett Rickards in this film. Walton Goggins also in this. Both are in the three-star range.
All right. So a bunch of fairly good, except for one movie coming out this week. What are you guys going to watch next week?
Not sure. I think Black Bag is coming out next week, which I've been looking forward to as well. So hopefully we get a chance to see that. We will let you know as soon as we have a clear picture of what's going to be opening.
Very good. Julio Diaz hosts the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook and watch and talk movies with them on Thursday nights, typically. And Let's Go Pensacola, a radio show at 4 o'clock here on News Radio tomorrow. Julio, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
8:17 here on News Radio 92.3. Find out why we're celebrating, not bemoaning, the behavior of congressional Democrats at the State of the Union speech on Tuesday and the Transgressors Memorial Ceremony coming up next, the late service. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about right now. Not seeing any delays on I-10, I-110, or even 98. So traffic is rolling smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
We did get a couple of reports of a heavy police presence in the Fairfield and sort of W vicinity. And based on the Escambia County Sheriff's Office dispatch page, there was a shots fired disturbance that they are responding to at Maxwell and North U Street. So we will obviously keep our ears attuned to that if there's any more information to give you. But that's why you might have seen police presence in that area.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
At Pinnair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pinnair Credit Union, because at Pinnair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at pinnair.org/carloan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pinnair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Dear Other, and once again we find ourselves experiencing the problem of plenty. A week of so many encouraging notes that we just want to take time to celebrate them all. First, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick this week called for the highly popular New York strip steak to be renamed as the Texas Strip Steak. Even though the New York restaurant Delmonico's popularized the name in the 1800s, Patrick says there's no reason New York dairy cows should get the branding benefit more properly due to Texas's 12 million head of beef cattle. Obviously, we will rarely side with Texas over our beloved utopian New York, but in this case, we're on board simply because of the very first rule of wokeness. Changing words for the sake of changing words is the beginning of thought control. So bring on the Apalachicola-styled clam chowder instead of New England style. Bring on the Sioux City wings instead of Buffalo. And bring on the South Padre Island iced tea instead of Long Island. The more language chaos, the better. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the Oscars for being so successfully non-inclusive of non-inclusive movies. In case you were not aware, every movie nominated for Best Picture must meet a very rigorous inclusivity and representation standard, meaning the film either has lead roles played by a member of a minority racial group, or at least 30% of the cast be women, racial minorities, LGBTQ+, or disabled, or the subject matter of the film must focus on an underrepresented group. As a result, of the 323 films eligible for the awards this year, 36% of them, a whopping 116 films, were ineligible for Best Picture. And of course, this meant that a biopic about Ronald Reagan, a white, Republican, male president, and featuring an almost exclusively white cast, was not allowed eligibility for the award. And how can we advance the cause of inclusivity more effectively than by excluding the non-inclusive from our celebration of excellence and inclusion? So potent. So well done. Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, for protecting weaker films from the unfair competition of straight white male films and limiting the field to only DEI-approved films, so that the Oscar for Best Picture will always and henceforth be known as the Oscar for Best Picture, as long as it is certified woke compliant according to ISO 2025 DEI 4.0. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Third, and I want to warn you in advance that anyone who is still dealing with IDS, or Inauguration Denial Syndrome, you may want to cover your ears. Here goes. We want to congratulate Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. I know, hear me out. For his decision to restore the original names of several U.S. military bases, such as reverting Fort Moore to Fort Benning, and Fort Liberty to Fort Bragg. I know this seems like a step backwards to those of us who fought so hard to eradicate every vestige of the Confederacy from statues, street names, holidays, donut flavors, and military base designations. But the twist here is that Hegseth specifically changed the namesakes of these bases to non-Confederate heroes instead of their Confederate namesakes. So, rather than Confederate General Henry L. Benning, the installation is now named for Army Corporal Fred G. Benning. Similarly, instead of Confederate General Braxton Bragg, the base is now named for Army Private First Class Roland L. Bragg. In other words, they aren't Confederate-named bases anymore. there are two dimensions to our victory here. First, name changes for the sake of name changes are always to be celebrated because they create intellectual instability. They separate people from the language of tradition, which enslaves them through memory to the unjust structures of the past. Second, the most anti-woke of defense secretaries was forced to abandon the Confederate references. Huge win. So let us brag about Fort Bragg once again, which now fully pretends the past does not exist. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to take a moment to bask gently in the afterglow of the masterful example set by congressional Democrats in their handling of the State of the Union speech this week by President, oh no you don't. We are still reveling in the power of their moment and the tears of joy their behavior brought to our eyes. First, the female Democrats, for their feminist solidarity, wearing pink in defense of women, after having voted just the previous day to refuse to prohibit biological men from competing against women in sports. Eradicating the distinctions between men and women is, of course, a core goal of our denomination. Also, as the 15th maxim of 10th wave feminism teaches, the best way to help women be women is by teaching them to become more like men. For only when women are men can they finally be women again. Second, the protest signs. Those small, nearly invisible, symbolically pointless, slogan-bearing black signs that ever so softly showed President that guy who really was in charge. Yes, as he thundered at them for a record-shattering 1 hour and 40 minutes, they fought back with their anointed and holy ping-pong paddles of protest. And if anything ever fully captured the roaring power of the Democratic Party in 2025, it was surely the holy ping-pong paddles of protest. May the eternal blessings of wokeness be ever on their grippy, pipped surface. Third, the glorious use of passive-aggressively sitting on their hands and not applauding the parade of policy achievements and human props that man brought before the American audience. Refusing to applaud for a balanced budget, refusing to applaud for peace in Ukraine, refusing to honor a man who lost a daughter or a wife who lost a husband, refusing to stand for a high school senior being accepted to West Point. These were all good. But the single most powerful moment of the night was when President, oh hell no, awarded 13-year-old cancer survivor DJ Daniel with an honorary appointment to the United States Secret Service. And Democrats sat still and pretended not to notice. Now, I know our critics have asked what sort of special derangement our Democratic congresspersons were suffering from to refuse to celebrate a young black man beating cancer and being treated like a hero. But think about it for a moment. You seriously want them to cheer for a misguided youth's brainwashed desire to grow up and participate in the systemic racism of American policing, which oppresses his very own people? Have you forgotten how much we hate the police and want to defund them? Of course they didn't cheer. And of course they were right not to. You might as well have asked them to cheer for a boy who aspires to grow up and become the president of an oil company, or make guns for a living, or cigarettes, or become a priest. Or imagine asking them to cheer for a little girl who wants to grow up to become a nurse or a secretary or a mother. Remember your principles, people. Fourth, Texas Representative Al Green, who early on in the speech stood up, mumbling incoherently what we can only imagine was a Spanish incantation or perhaps the name of his barber, while waggling his walking stick at the president until the sergeant-at-arms escorted him off the field of play like Darth Vader throwing the Emperor down the power shaft of the second Death Star. Yes, we know it was a total abandonment of our calls for civility. Yes, we know it made him the laughingstock of social media. And yes, we know it accomplished nothing. But that is the point. The complete and utter impotence of his hollow symbolic gesture is the reason we love it. For who are we, if not the people of empty gestures and impotent behavior? This was literally the participation trophy of protests. And as our mantra teaches, silence is speech, inaction is action, and impotence is power. And if anything in this world does a better job of representing our movement right now than an old Texas liberal feebly waving a cane at the President of the United States when he gives an official address, well, we can't imagine what that would be. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.
All right. right. Ran a little bit long. Apologies. John, do you have any traffic notes they need to hear before we get into the news?
Nope, we're good.
All right. Just so we do know, we have a shots fired incident near you and Maxwell. Escambia County Sheriff's Office is responding. When we get more details, we'll let you know about that. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next, and the wrap comes up after that. Stick around.
Chris Foster, the monthly jobs reports released by the Labor Department showing slightly more jobs created than in January.
We have 151,000 jobs added in February, unemployment at 4.1%. Average hourly earnings rose by 10 cents or 0.3%, $35.93. That number year over year, 4% growth.
Fox Business correspondent Lauren Simonetti. Canada's keeping its initial retaliatory tariffs on American imports in place despite President Trump postponing tariffs on many Canadian and Mexican imports for a month.
I wanted to help the American car makers until April 2nd. April 2nd, it becomes all reciprocal. What they charge us, we charge them. It's a big deal.
Ontario Premier Doug Ford says starting Monday, the province will charge 25% more for electricity shipped in Minnesota, New York, and Michigan. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 49 degrees, beautiful Friday here in Pensacola. Now, Escambia County Emergency Response officials say they learned their lessons back in December of 2019, and that showed yesterday when possible gunshots were reported at Corey Station in Warrington. Now, that all happened about 10 o'clock yesterday morning when two service members said they heard gunshots at a building. It only took a few minutes, and EMS had set up a staging area. Law enforcement from the Escambia Sheriff's Office, PPD, and the Naval Police were all on hand.
I'm proud of our units, our EMS, our fire response, our dispatch, who took the 911 calls. Everybody did a good job of using their head.
That's Escambia County Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore, who says you can never be 100% prepared, but he says the response was a big improvement over the NAS Pensacola terror attack 6 years ago. Yesterday's incident turned out to be a false alarm. Sheriff Simmons said his SWAT team cleared the building twice and they found no evidence that anything had happened. There was no shooter and no victims. Investigators say they've looked into the report. They do not believe it to be a swatting call. Well, looks like Destin is on board, at least partially, with President Trump's name change for the Gulf of America. The city has adopted a new ordinance to start using the term Gulf of America in new city documents and ordinances, but they did decide to retain their historic uses of the Gulf of Mexico name. The initial proposal had been to change the language of all of their city ordinances. Council members opposed doing that. They wanted to maintain their city history. Destin council members also expressed some concern about getting involved in the controversial name change since the president, quote, doesn't need their permission nor their support. A 27-year-old Century woman's in critical condition after being hit while riding a hoverboard. She was found lying in the center of County Road 4, Byronville Road, just to the west of Century. The one-wheeled hoverboard was found nearby in the road. The woman was taken to the hospital with critical injuries. If you have any information on that crash or the vehicle that left the scene, you're asked to contact FHP at star 347. There were no arrests, no tickets, not a single car had to be towed this year during the downtown Pensacola Mardi Gras parade. PPD's Mike Wood tells News Radio everything went smooth as possible, even with the new closure of Main Street.
The people that did need to get through, that needed to get to homes and businesses south of Main Street, were able to do that, and we were able to get them out of there when they were getting off work. So it couldn't have gone any better, to be honest with you.
And Mike Wood tells News Radio the safety enhancements will likely be around for future downtown parades and events as well. As for traffic, he said that flowed smoothly and there were no issues reported. Well, the tug of war over an Instagram influencer's phone and tablets in South Florida continued in court yesterday. The state's trying to dump the devices belonging to Macy Lathers to gather evidence.
Essentially alcohol as well as drugs that she ingested, which caused this incident. And so we wanted to know, she's an influencer, she was going to potentially bars and other locations, what else she was doing earlier that day.
The state says they will not delay the double homicide trial if they can't break into the devices, which Lathers' attorney also says he wants for evidentiary value. Lathers is accused of driving high on pink cocaine, running a red light, and killing two people last summer. The judge denied yesterday's motion. It's 8:35 at News Radio, and John's got our traffic on the fives.
Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays there. Even Highway 90 looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with clouds building in, high near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. On Saturday, we will have waves of rain with 80% chance of showers, high near 75 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. On Sunday, 40% chance of rain, high near 69. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 49 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is 57 right now in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, 51 in Milton. Your money now this morning. Stocks are down as of the opening bell after a jobs report that was a bit disappointing. The Dow's down 61 points at 42,517.18. S&P down 2 points right now. 57.34.68. NASDAQ, though, is up 9 points at 18.78.44. 10-year bond rate down a bit, 4.246% today. Gold price is down $1.40 at 29.25.20. Silver price is down just about 50 cents at 32.84. And crypto mixed this morning. Bitcoin's up 61.25 at 89.85. Ethereum, Solana, XRP all down and no change for Dogecoin. It's holding steady at 20 cents. The monthly jobs report came in weaker than expected today. The Labor Department reporting 151,000 jobs were created in February. That's less than was expected. The unemployment rate rose slightly at 4.11%. Federal Reserve officials said this week the monthly jobs report would probably not have much impact on its current policy stance. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell will have more to say about that in a speech today at noon. The first ever White House crypto summit is scheduled for today. The event comes just a day after President Trump was presented with and signed an executive order that creates a strategic Bitcoin reserve and a stockpile of digital assets.
The reserve will be capitalized with Bitcoin that the federal government already owns, so it won't cost taxpayers a dime. This is like a digital Fort Knox for digital gold.
The move did little to boost Bitcoin, though, which fell as much as 6% following that announcement. Walgreens apparently is going private. That's after almost a century as a publicly traded company. The pharmacy chain's being bought up by private equity firm Sycamore Partners in a deal worth $24 billion. That comes after the company's lost about 80% of its market cap and 10% of their locations have closed. 8:37, our next news at 9. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
So if you're in construction, like if you build things for a living, how much does it cost when you send a guy to the store? Probably not cheap, right? Time, inconvenience, right? What if things could be delivered to the job site for you? What if you could be on a monthly bill instead of having to give somebody your credit card all the time? What if, okay, and I know this is a little bit of a stretch, but what if the people who were selling you your construction supplies actually understood everything you were talking about, spoke your language, didn't need a translator, knew the codes even and the products that you were looking for and could help you find better solutions to the problems you have? Well, that's Pensacola Hardware. They are a commercial construction supply business, and they're experts at it. They have been doing this for a long time, like since, you know, before the Civil War, like before there was Levi's, there was Pensacola Hardware. And that's why they love helping people like you build things for a living. So, you know, don't just take my word for it, but take my word and go down and find out from them what they can do to help you do your business better. Pensacola Hardware, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Everybody jump, 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 jump. I said a hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance for me to hang out with a couple of friends. In this case, one friend so far. The other one is on the way. I'm sure he'll be here momentarily. John Hutchinson is here. He is a former Gulf Power executive. He's a former many things. I always forget who had. It seems like half the people I know have at one time or another been in the Florida legislature. Were you ever a legislator?
I was not. I worked with them on different issues concerning the utility industry, so familiar with the process.
Well, then I can say this with all the love and admiration that I can muster. You're no Dave Merzen, sir.
That's true.
And I would tell Dave, you're no John Hutchinson.
I was close enough to it to know that, I don't think I want to do
you
that.
You didn't want to do that. Yeah, no, I understand that answer. And Bobby Rossi is supposed to be here any minute. Should be. I just talked with him on the phone. He's heading this way. So things that have been happening this week, I think one of the more kind of came all of a sudden announcements was the mayor telling us that there's going to be dirt turned and buildings built and machines operating on Old Stinky that they're actually finally building, right?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. You know, I did some consulting for Pensacola Sports a few years ago, and we looked at that site for a sports complex, indoor sports complex, where you could do all the things we can't do in Pensacola because we don't have a facility to do that.
Right.
I was in Dallas this last weekend and had a national cheerleading contest there. And thousands and thousands of young girls there to compete in that, and young men too. Those are the kinds of things we want to do in Pensacola on that site. Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't work out. So, but I am glad to see that it is being developed. 600 apartment units is a lot.
Yeah.
And
between the two parts, like the west part is a done deal happening. The east part is hopefully happening, right?
Yeah, and they describe the west part as luxury apartments. So, I don't know what the rent price is going to be. The price point is going to be. So it may or may not help, but it just seems like every time you build something in downtown Pensacola, they fill it up.
Right. There's demand for it.
And there's demand.
I know the people who want more affordable housing will say, well, how does that help the teacher and the cop and the firefighter? But I very much agree with DC that inventory is inventory. And inventory at the top of the scale or the, medium up the scale will create vertical mobility in the scale and will eventually cascade to opening up things at the lower end of the scale. And that's what a house is a house, an apartment is an apartment. Anything helps.
Right. It frees up the people who move into those apartments, who I would probably guess 80% are people who already live here.
Right.
Are going to free up inventory, which also impacts price points.
Right.
Keeps them lower, and inventory is an issue.
And they're most likely, they're probably coming from a little farther away.
Yep.
Okay. In order to get the thing that's at that very sweet location for downtown proximity. And that's going to, which is therefore the distance ones are going to be a little bit more affordable. So again, all of these factors are part of the whole puzzle of how do we make things better for real estate, for the cost of living in Pensacola.
Yeah, and if I'm a business downtown, I'm standing up and clapping.
Oh, yeah, for sure, cheering.
There's 600 more households that I can sell my goods and wares to. And so I think it's really good. And I think bringing people downtown has been a wonderful part of the mayor's emphasis, and it's working.
And plus Western development. Like, we tend to think of downtown as, east of Palafox Spring, all very well developed or largely very well developed. But the West going towards and that is kind of languished a little bit, back when we saw the Hallmark School go down, and I don't particularly love those houses, but they are inventory. Mm-hmm. We've seen bits and pieces, and now we're starting to see, real infill and development to the point where, growing westward means businesses are going to come over there, and you start to get, again, a larger, more thriving downtown on that side of town.
Yeah, and Warrington, for example, there's a lot that can be done.
Yep.
Out toward Warrington. On the other side of the Bayou Chico Bridge, that area in there, north of the Country Club. Country Club's okay.
Right, sure.
North of the Country Club, there's a lot of opportunity there for redevelopment. And so anything that starts moving that way will have that spillover effect. There's no question.
And look, I'm not just an optimist. I understand that this has gentrification effects,
yes.
Right? If you put luxury apartments into an area, you're going to, you are likely to drive up property values in the area, and that has an effect on a historical neighborhood like that, where the people who live there right now may not be the most affluent. I get that.
Yes.
You also have the traffic impact. I mean, 600 units is 600 units, and they're saying, I guess, they're not going to dump out on Main, which is good. But anywhere you do put them in that perimeter is going to be, that's traffic.
Yep.
But that side of town, I mean, I've never encountered a traffic problem west of Spring.
No.
You just east of Palafox, sure. But on the west side, Maine, yes, maybe. But that whole area between Garden and Maine, I mean, you never have problems getting around there.
No, and I think the walkability issue will be very good. So
right.
Everybody's not going to have to drive.
No, that's a good point.
If you want to go out to eat or you want to go out to a baseball game, or you could just walk.
And
so it's not going to increase traffic from that standpoint.
They may work within walking distance.
Yeah,
people who want to live downtown are much more likely to walk to work, bike to work, whatever, scooter to work. You know, yeah, you're exactly right. It's a good point.
Yeah. So it may not have that great impact on traffic, but I think it's good. I always say nothing happens in a community until somebody has a job.
Mm-hmm.
But the next step in that process is until somebody has a place to live. Mm-hmm. And so this is helping fulfill that need, which means property taxes, which means increased sales taxes, which means all those things for the city. And I couldn't guess what percentage of those residents are going to be from the county, but you're going to have folks moving into the city to
the
a large
city
part.
Population may actually change.
Yeah, exactly.
We might get to 51,000.
You might. Instead of everything growing to cantonment.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Which it has been for years. This is a good development. I'm glad to see that property be utilized too. It's too important a piece of property just to sit there vacant. So we see enough of that. Yeah, so I think that's a great idea.
All right, we're talking to John Hutchinson and Bobby Rossi, who is, our program director, who used to do the afternoon show, fills in for me whenever I'm out. And Bobby, good to have you, sir.
Yeah, sorry. I was at the Bay Center trying to get things set up.
For the ESPN and for the how is it going? Let me get a quick traffic break. We'll come back to you in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
There we go. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 going from Pace to Pensacola looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. How are the basketball games? I heard you and John were both at the game last night.
Yeah, good games. I mean, there's been a lot of games just down to the last wire, mm-hmm. and that always makes it exciting to me. When there's been a couple of blowouts for like 20-point leads, but most of the games are actually really close, and it's exciting to watch the players just because – the way it is, it's single elimination. So you win or you go home. And so it's fun to watch the players really give their heart. And some of them pretty disappointed, like slamming the floor when they lose, you know, and stuff like this. And but there's been some really good last minute 3-point shots. And most of them don't go in. And so it's been really exciting. And the crowd is slowly getting bigger and bigger and bigger. First day, there was like hardly anybody showing up. But yesterday there was a lot more people, and today is going to be a lot more people than it was yesterday, so it's good.
And Sunbelt, I feel like I should know. Sunbelt's D2?
No, D1.
Is it D1?
The winner of this tournament will be in March Madness.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. All right. No, I think I knew that, so I appreciate the clarification. That's cool. So, and I love having it downtown. It really highlights something you and I you briefly touched on, John, something that the county commission, of course, was dealing with yesterday, looking at the question of what to do with the Bay Center.
Yes.
The new signboard in the Bay Center is great. The proposed renovations for the seating and some of the enhancements to allow, I think, I forget which parts are in and which are on the dream list, but, some of the improvement in the concessions, improvement of the box seating, improvement of the ability to handle higher loads in the apparatus, all of that's good. Of course, yesterday we were talking about the, was it going to be 40? Is it going to be 80? Is it going to be $120 million to do something different? Seeing the Bay Center, I don't like the acoustics, okay?
No, it's cool.
But, and of course, it's terrible for conventions and all the getting around inside there for Pensacon is a special nightmare. But as a floor space facility, it's, I think, quite good. John, were you following the conversation yesterday about the Bay Center, about what they want to do? Apparently, the ownership group is the same ownership group that owns, like, the Cowboys and owns all of these properties all around the world. They've completely changed hands now. They're no longer owned by the Pritzker family, thank goodness. But, I think what they're trying to do
is the right thing.
Yeah.
It's the right thing. But the Bay Center is just one performance floor.
Okay? Right.
What you really need to handle these bigger tournaments and to expand beyond just basketball, if you want to do tennis tournaments, if you want to do wrestling, if you want to do all the mat sports, if you want to do cheerleading like we talked about before, You need a place where you can have four or five different events going on at once. A volleyball tournament, for example. You want to have four games going on at once. You can't do that in the Bay Center. You can have the championship game there.
Right.
But what we really need is something that gives people place to practice.
Different sports
complex. Yeah, and these teams have no place to practice.
Right.
I mean, I know they go out to the high schools and other places to do that, but But if you're really going to have, if you're really going to do a sports arena, you really need a much expanded space. I mean, you need three times the size of the Bay Center to do that. Floor space doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be terribly expensive, but you need more floor space than just that to really reach the potential. We did some market studies and went to Junior Olympics, went to all these different organizations and said, if we built a facility in Pensacola where you could put 8 volleyball courts on at the same floor,
okay,
which allows you to do all these other things,
sure,
would you be interested in coming to Pensacola? It was an overwhelming yes. Oh, please.
Okay.
We can go to the beach. We can go downtown. We got restaurants right there. We have accommodations that are getting better, but the overwhelming majority of the organizations we talked to said we would leave Foley, Alabama, and come to Pensacola in a minute.
Oh yeah,
with all those amenities, and little old Foley has got us beat on that.
And they do, and that's actually one of the things I was going to ask you about, because this project is kind of, there's a bunch of dimensions to it. One is, you know, there was the proposal to build it up off of Ashton Brosnahan Park. I thought a terrible location.
I agree.
Great idea in the wrong place.
Wrong place.
But if you build it on the parking lot behind the Bay Center, which is kind of the current best idea, it's right next to the Bay Center. Of course, you lose parking. You're going to have to find it somewhere. The Tech Park may or may not be a solution for that. That's going to cost us money if we give it up. Anyway, but the idea of having a facility right next to the Bay Center, maybe an extra ice facility. Although Stephen Berry made a good point yesterday. He said, if you free up some of the space in the Bay Center from other things, you may actually expand ice access at other times. Because, like, if Pensacon doesn't take it out of commission for a week, because if Pensacon can be in the warehouse next door,
right,
now the people who want ice get more ice.
Right. Yeah.
You may not need a second sheet of ice to accommodate that.
Yeah.
But my question for you, and Bobby, feel free to weigh in, is when I bike around, my wife and I, we bike around, and we see, like, we're in Foley.
Mm-hmm.
The facilities in Foley are no joke. Like, they're
nice.
Have a, I mean, yep. God, I don't know how many softball fields at that complex right next to OWA and all of the indoor facility. I mean, they have a lot. And we see this in Baldwin County.
I have friends from Tennessee who come down for tournaments there.
Yeah.
And because it's such a robust area for softball, baseball, little league, things like that. And they own it now for this region.
And Mobile is, you know, investing big money into their facility center, convention center, whatever. Not knowing enough, my sort of layman fear is we're going to enter the competitive space too late.
Well, we already have.
Okay.
I mean, particularly for the outdoor. Panama City's got us beat on outdoor.
Okay.
But it's I don't want to say it's too late, because we have a unique market to share, a unique market to put towards people, where you got restaurants downtown, you got the beach that's close by. Foley has the beach, but it's 30 minutes away. They don't have the accommodations that we do. They're doing a great job with what they're doing.
Yeah, it's out in the middle of nowhere.
It's out in the middle of nowhere.
Other than NOAA, but that's not enough.
And they
got
the amusement park that goes with it, so the kids can go do that. So they've done a great job with that. But that doesn't mean we couldn't compete with them or with Mobile or some of these other places. I think we could be very competitive if we did that. The other thing besides sports is conventions.
Right.
You know, look at all the medical facilities we have in Pensacola, all the hospitals, all the medical personnel that we have here.
Yeah.
They've told us we can have medical conventions in Pensacola. Right now, we have to go to Atlanta. We have to go to New Orleans. We have to go to these places for these medical conventions. We could have them here in Pensacola. UWF tells us the same thing. Educational conferences. We have to go all over the place to other universities to have them.
It is weird that we don't have that space. We don't have the place. Right, yeah.
We don't have a space where you can put 1,000 people and feed them. And that's what you need.
Yeah.
But that this kind of space would be.
But you could use the Bay Center as that kind of space if, once again, you had those other facilities like in the parking lot next to it that you built that had other sports type things. Plus, by the way, indoor soccer is only growing in America.
Yeah.
And so you need to have another place for that right there. And then you have that green space just south of the Bay Center,
the Tech
right
Park,
there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that. People park there anyway during other events. People even park on the grass, and they're not supposed to, but they do. Well, if they turn that into a parking garage, then it would solve a lot of problems with parking downtown, with parking at events like right there. And then you could use the convention or the Bay Center as a convention center type of facility while you still have sports things going on at the other buildings that they build.
Because even with the hotel still out of commission, we have plenty of and growing hotel space.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously have plenty of restaurant and entertainment, you know, for the all the peripheral, and it's within it's within walking distance, so it's easy access for folks. So those are, you know, those are benefits as well. Let's go to John Pickens with traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you still. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Even Highway 90 flowing still. And 98's looking good also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. We got John Hutchinson, who is kind of all around town. He's a modern Renaissance man, a guitar player even.
play a little guitar.
I'm going to say he is. Bobby Rossi, who is our program director and fills in for me. And, of course, he used to run the afternoon show. You know, we haven't talked about today at all. But I am.
By the way, real quick on the Bay Center.
Yeah, go on.
For them to continue to have things like the SBC tournament, they are still going to have to upgrade a lot of internal things as well.
Yeah.
Like, there are no suites. Right? And people who like to attend big tournaments like this,
right,
they want to have suites. They want to be taken care of and treated like a VIP, and our VIPs right now just get some like front row seats and and here's a bag of popcorn. And so they're gonna have, and there's a plan to do that as well, but it all costs money, and it might means taking down some walls and stuff like this, but there needs to be some internal upgrades as well in order for us to continue to be able to get things like
right.
that.
And some of that's in process, some of that is still to be done, and I think the management company, based on what I learned about them yesterday, is they appear to be very good at maximizing the revenue stream out of whatever facility they're working on. And part of their pitch to the county commission for extending their deal on managing the facility was, we know how to get the most squeeze out of this thing. We know how to make it work. And so I think they're very much thinking that way. You know, if we can create some boxes, if we can create some luxury, we can get higher spending, higher per capita, you know, income coming off the facility, which, you know, that's good stuff. God, we have so many things to talk about. The port is suddenly kind of in conversation. You know, American Magic is coming. I guess I had never thought about it the way the mayor said it the other day, but I love his expression that we shouldn't think about the port as itself the revenue stream. We should think about the port as the tool with which we can facilitate other investment, growth, and production in town. You know, they don't build the nacelles on the port, but they use the port to ship them away.
Yes.
So all of the jobs up on Scenic that make the windmill turbines, you know, the nacelles for the turbines, that's because we let the port do that. And so that's the way to think about the port. What can we unlock with the unique advantage of port access?
Yeah, the port is a really, really important asset to Pensacola. It always has been. It's why Pensacola is here.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we had the deep water port. So we don't need to get rid of the port, but we need to think
right.
about, and that was a proposal a few years ago. People wanted to just close the port. Well, that's crazy from an economic asset standpoint. Now, is it going to be a container port that's going to rival New Orleans or Mobile? No, it's not big enough. And the downtown's not set up for that.
Right.
But can it do things like the American Magic? Can it do things like research? Can it do
things? The UWF, right.
Yeah, and to me, that's a great way to use that port. Do you still want cargo coming in? Yes, and we've got good contracts now for that. That needs to continue. The maintenance of the ships that comes in at the port, wonderful way to use the port. We got to think a little bit smarter about how to use the port, but certainly we got to keep it.
Yeah, I agree that the tending to think about it as profit loss from the contracts is missing the broader value of it.
Yeah.
Just like if all you thought about with the airport was how much do we make and lose in terms of the actual operating expenses and revenue of the airport as opposed to the massive benefit that it has for us for tourism or other things that might be coming.
Plus, I hate to be the, oh boy, what if type of thing, but it is one of the handful of deep water ports that is in Florida and along the Gulf Coast,
mm-hmm.
and the deep water ports are needed for maintenance and for repairs or building warships if we end up being in a situation where we need to start cranking out some stuff. And so you can't close it. It's a what if. It's a contingency for stuff down the road that we hope never happens, but we need to be prepared for
whatever happened with the riverboat gambling thing that was going to come and park on the east side. That just all fizzled and went away. We never heard anything about that.
It's actually over in Isle of Battery.
Oh, okay. Right now, still being worked on, or it's actually in operation?
It's being worked on. Operation.
Okay.
Being worked on.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you. Bobby Rossi, John Hutchinson.
Thanks, Andrew.
Great conversation. It's always different every Friday, man. I appreciate it.
There you go.